Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Really excited right now to get to the BetQL guest line. Welcome in our guest, Mr. Albert Breer. Bert, what up, dude? How are you?
Hey, what's happening? How you doing, JP?
We're doing good down here, man. You definitely raised some eyebrows yesterday with at least the first I saw the report that all the quarterbacks were coming in at the same time to have a draft party at Topgolf, man.
They wanted to see who could play golf.
Yeah, who hits their wedges best. You know, you've done this a long time, and apparently this is normal how San Fran operates. Just kind of what do you make of it?
Well, there are a few reasons why you would do it this way. You know, I think, first of all, it's obviously efficient. And, you know, you're spending a lot of time in draft meetings this time of year and on the road this time of year. And so, you know, like, and you got coaches who, you know, have the off-season program started. So, you know, to be able to knock this out all at once is efficient, right? Like, so that's part of it. You know, the quarterbacks themselves, you've already seen them in a lot of different settings. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about all the different touch points they've had, there's the private workouts, there's the pro days on campus, there's dinners connected to that, there's the combine, which is a shorter one, but you're there. And then you're allowed 3 Zooms with each prospect at about an hour apiece. So, you know, you've already really gotten to know the quarterbacks and see the quarterbacks in a lot of different settings. And, you know, a lot of times the 30 visit, the main function of it is to see them in your environment, right? And see how they kind of operate in your environment and how they interact with people. And, you know, I think that what this does is it puts them around their peers and you're going to get a real life look at how they're interacting with people around them in a stressful situation. You know, in a situation where there's a lot on the line, right? So how are they treating people that are in the same situation as them? How are they interacting with them? How are they leading, you know, maybe in some of these situations? You know, I think it's an interesting way to do it. You know, there's different ways that these are handled, but, I mean, look, like a lot of teams will bring 5 or 6 guys in at once, right? Like, and like, they'll do like 5 days of that, right? Like, so, I mean, your attention is usually going to be splitting these things anyway a little bit. So I can understand why you would want to do it this way. And you are going to get individual time with the quarterbacks during the day to day. Here's the other part of it. It allows you to do this at the very end of the process with everyone, right? So today is the last day it's allowed. Today is the last day you're allowed to have this. So, you know, when you bring these guys in at this point of the process, you're going to have the most complete information on them. So if you need to follow up on anything, if you need to look them in the eye on anything, if there's anything like that, like then you're going to get these guys at the absolute last point that you can get them face to face. So yeah, I think for a lot of different reasons, it makes sense. And, look, like there are some drawbacks certainly, you know, and, you know, having the quarterback out to dinner one-on-one, like the, you know, the Bears, you know, when they brought 6 guys in, to Lake Forest, and Caleb Williams was one of them. They took Caleb Williams to a separate restaurant, right? So that's a different way to do it, where you're getting that intimate time with them. But, you know, there is benefit to doing it this way as well. I don't think there's any right or wrong answer to the question.
Yeah, and I think this way, basically, if you're a team and you're trying to do some stuff, you don't want to have people writing all these stories about who you're leaning towards, do it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what, Beamish, the other part about this, I think, personally, is like, I mean, look, like, I don't think there's a chance in hell they're trading the pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do show interest in all of them, you're at least going to probably get other teams that might be scared you're taking Drake May, or you're scared you're taking J.J. McCarthy, at least pick up the phone and make a call. And so it's also a way of getting you the most, I would say, full picture of the landscape and what people are willing to offer for the second overall pick as well. You know, so like, cause a lot of people have asked me that, like, well, what would the benefit be for the Commanders to be so secretive about who they're taking? And listen, there are people in the building, I can tell you, that, you know, like, don't know what AP and DQ are thinking.
Right.
They've been very, you know, they've sort of kept it to a very small circle, you know, and where they're leaning and what they're looking at. What would the benefit of that be when you know who's going number one and you have the second pick? Well, you know, I do think it there is some benefit in, you know, team X, Y, and Z picking up the phone and giving me a call because they think you might be taking their guy and maybe offering you something. So you at least know what's out there for you and what's out there for the pick.
Well, and one thing that kind of stood out to me as you were explaining that, we're talking with Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. You can follow him at Albert Breer, B-R-E-E-R. One thing, if they're getting all four of the top quarterback prospects on the last possible day prospects are allowed to visit, it also means they're not going somewhere else and, like, kind of lets them control it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're going to be able to – I mean – And this is just part of it. Like, they can kind of glean what some other teams are thinking too, you know, from doing it that way. I mean, like, they, I mean, look, there's a lot of time spent, right? Like, so you might get an idea of what team X, Y, or Z is thinking, you know. Maybe Michael Penix gives you an idea of teams that might be interested in him. And if Penix were to slide, say, to the top of the second round, maybe you know who likes him now, and you pick up the phone and you make phone calls to that team to try and see if you can get a trade with that team. You know, it's just a lot of different reasons why it can benefit you doing it this way.
Yeah, and it's consistent with what Peters has said, that, like, he doesn't intend to be in on everything, but he wants to at least know everything going on around the league, and this is kind of consistent with that. I'm curious, do you see this? I don't really see any surprises, despite all the crazy discussions. I think it's Caleb then Jaden. Do you kind of see the same thing?
Yeah, I think it's Caleb and Jaden. And if I had to put money on it, I would say Drake goes three. I'm not positive who's going to make that pick. I think chances are it's New England sticking and picking. But could I see, you know, Minnesota or the Giants coming up for Drake? I certainly could see that. I think both those teams like Drake. So, you know, I think Drake winds up going three. You know, and then, you know, I think J.J. probably goes somewhere in the top six. Penix, I think, as the coaches have gotten more involved in the process, and as you guys know, you know, the coaches really are pretty far behind the scouts, you know, in January and February when they're just starting to dig in. As the coaches have kind of studied up and gotten more involved in the process across the league, I feel like Penix has gained a little steam. I hate the term rising up draft boards because it doesn't really freaking exist. You know what I mean? But
right.
It's just like, it's usually just the rest of us catching up to what teams think. But I do think in this case, like, you know, Penix has been helped by the coaches getting more involved in the process. I think the coaches, you know, on balance across the league, really do like Penix.
You know, the quarterback position, and when you start looking at the draft, is normally the most exciting. I think the receiver position is getting that way this year. I think we basically have an idea of what's going to happen with the top guys. And I think right now the receiver thing with Neighbors and also Harrison, that's starting to heat up a little bit more and bringing some excitement over there.
Yeah, and, you know, what's interesting about it is I do think, like, if you look at this, there's a chance, and I'm not saying it's a great one, but there's a scenario where you might not see a defensive player picked in the top 10. And I think Dallas Turner gets in there, like probably at 8, maybe to the Falcons. But, you know, when you look at the four, if you assume the four quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10, and then probably three receivers in the top 10, right? Like Harrison and Neighbors, certainly probably Adunze too. You know, now you're up to 7, and then you got some teams that need tackles. Joe Alt, mm-hmm. I think, is a lock to go in the top 10. Now you're at 8. And then, like, Olufoshanu, Brock Bowers, now you're at 10, you know? And so I don't think it's likely that it's going to be all offensive players in the top 10, but I don't think that that's an impossible scenario. Again, my guess would be Dallas Turner goes somewhere in the top 10, but it's going to be very, very offense-heavy at the top of the draft.
Definitely. Talking with Albert Breer here, we appreciate you making time. The other thing that happens at the draft is when we see like these other trades that aren't necessarily draft specific, but the draft is what drives them. I know that last year there was conversations around Chase Young with the Commanders. You see trades around draft weekend, not even just Thursday, but Friday too, all the time. Yeah. One of the players with perhaps the most speculation surrounding him is Brandon Ayuk. Yep. It seems like Pittsburgh is the heavy favorite there, but it'd be silly to count the Commanders out because Adam Peters just spent a ton of time with Ayuk in San Fran. Where is the Ayuk situation? Is San Fran trying to get a deal done? What do you think happens with that?
Yeah, I think San Francisco is in a situation where they really like Ayuk. I think they view Ayuk, as good as Deebo Samuel is, Ayuk is the best pure receiver on their team, right? Like, so just as far as like what he is and what he brings to the table from a route running perspective, being able to beat man coverage, they view him as the best receiver on their team, like pure wide out. That said, if you look at their skill positions, they've got a real surplus in having George Kittle and Keenan and Christian McCaffrey and of course Deebo there. So if you look at like the contracts, the way they set up, there are 8 or 9 guys on that roster that are at the top of their market. With their contracts, you have Brock Purdy eligible for a new contract next year. At some point, something's going to have to give. And if you want to look at history, you know, over the years, you know, Kyle Shanahan has been excellent at identifying and developing receivers. He's done it everywhere he's gone. People in Washington know that, right? Like, so he's always been really good at that. And so if you're them and you look at it and you say, okay, like, where can we cheat this a little bit? Where can we make up for it? Where can we get value for a guy? I think Ayuk is the one you point to. And so, like, I don't think they're actively shopping him. I think they'd love to keep him. But if somebody comes along with a good offer, I could see that happening. T. Higgins is obviously the other one. Same sort of deal there where, you know, if you pay T. Higgins, that becomes the floor for Ja'Marr Chase. Are you better off paying all those guys and now you're paying Chase, Higgins, and Joe Burrow, I don't know, like $110 million a year collectively, you know, or are you better off, if you're the Bengals, taking a second round pick for him in a really, really deep draft of the position and getting a guy who could be a really good player for you opposite Chase on cost control, you know, especially with Burrow's contract now kicking in. So those would be the two guys that I would look at. And yeah, I mean, I think what happens is, you know, a lot of times this week, teams, you know, they have their draft board set, they're looking at depth at certain positions, and, you know, they see the opportunity out there, and they pick up the phone and they make those calls. And especially, like, if the first round doesn't go the way that they want, you know, a lot of times that can prompt things. You know, Stephon Gilmore, I believe, got traded on the second day of the draft last year to the Cowboys. So certainly you can see something like that happening. I think the depth of the draft at receiver depresses the value of Higgins and Ayuk a little bit, so maybe that prevents a trade. Mm. But I'd be surprised if phone calls weren't made.
Gotcha.
Good stuff.
Well, dude, what is – you said a second for Higgins. What do you think – unless you get a contract done with these guys, what –
that's the problem.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem is that you have to pay them. And if you don't – I mean, look, it's been done before. Like, Jalen Ramsey's won where the Rams traded for him, and when they traded for him, he did not have a new contract. Now, he did have a year and a half left, and that makes a difference, right? So you're getting the back half of that year, and then you had to redo him after the year. Laramie Tunsil was similar. The Texans acquired him, and then paid him after the first season they had him, but he had 2 years left on his deal. Those players have a ton of leverage over their teams, because if you're giving up like premium draft capital to go and get a guy, the guy all of a sudden now can more or less hold you at gunpoint, you know? Whereas if you're negotiating a contract while a trade is happening, well, then, you know, the player is going to look at it and say, well, this is my opportunity to get paid now instead of waiting, you know? So he's going to be more motivated to do a deal with you. The contract part of it is certainly a big factor. And again, like, I think part of it at receiver is, you know, how readily available these guys are. I mean, it's just, I don't know, JP and B-Mitch, I look at this as like, it's sort of the nature of the sport right now. It's just easier to find guys at that position because a lot of the best athletes are playing that position, which is why every year in the draft is a great receiver year.
Dude, the proliferation of 7-on-7 has totally changed skill positions.
100%. I mean, like, you know, I look at it like, would Odell Beckham have been Marshall Faulk 25 years ago? You look at his build, right? His dad was a running back, right? Like, there's like all kinds of examples like that. Debo Samuel, I think, would have been a running back 25 years ago. And I could even take it to another level. I mean, look at the amount of corners coming into the NFL who are the kids of players, right?
Yeah.
Asante Samuel Jr., Patrick Surtain Jr., J.C. Horn is Joe Horn's kid.
Yep.
Derek Stingley is Daryl Stingley's grandson. Well, why is that? It's because those guys are looking at their sons or their sons and saying, you know what, kid, you're 6'1", 6'2", 190 pounds. There are 50 guys like you out there in America playing receiver. There are 5 playing defensive back. Mm-hmm. Go play corner. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that there's like a supply and demand thing going on at the receiver position that that's really interesting. And again, like, if you're one of these teams and you look at it, you say, okay, I don't know, I'll throw a name out there for you. Are we better off with spending a second round pick on T. Higgins or Brandon Ayuk and giving them $25 million a year? Or are we better off spending that second round pick and getting Xavier Worthy for whatever, $3 million a year, $4 million a year, or Ladd McConkey, or, you know, one of those guys? I mean, yeah. I think it's a very real part of the equation now for NFL teams.
Totally.
It is.
Last thing, I know you got to run. How weird is it to be covering a draft in New England without Belichick around?
Oh, it's definitely strange. You know, it's funny because, as you know, JP, I do a ton of media up here. And
sure.
The weird thing is, like, you have this in your head of what a Patriot's been forever, right? Like the prototype and the intangibles and all that different stuff. And you catch yourself saying, like, this is what the Patriots look for. And we don't know if that's true anymore. You know what I mean? Like, so it's really weird where it's like, there are a few things about, like, you know, the types of players that Belichick looked for 24 years that always held true. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, we don't have evidence that those things are going to be hard and fast anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see the way Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo handle this. And, you know, it's interesting too, because you have one guy in Mayo, you know, who really as a football player and coach only worked for Belichick. And then you have a guy who's running personnel and Elliott Wolf, who came up under his dad and Ted Thompson in Green Bay, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you also have kind of different viewpoints in the building. One that's, you know, I mean, obviously has subscribed to the way things were done here for a long time. And another guy with a little bit more of an outside perspective.
Going to be a little strange up there.
Got to be weird. Yeah. It's fun. Our mutual friend, Phil Perry.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have been on ESPN.com today, but, you know, it's strange in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. The Wickersham story.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like this is, This fight is going to go on for quite some time. I'll put it that way.
With Bill and Bob?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And Dynasty was so slanted, dude. It was unbelievably slanted.
I know. And it's like, I mean, I don't know how they thought that was going to come, like, how they thought that was going to play. You know, you look at it and it's like, the copyright at the end literally says Kraft Dynasty.
Right.
And now you're trying to act like you're offended by it. Like, you can't play both sides of it like that. You know, people aren't that dumb. They're not going to fall for that.
Mm-mm. Billionaires tend to hear what they want. That's what I've learned in life.
And surround themselves with people that agree with their point of view.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yo, Bert, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. I know you're going to be swamped next couple weeks. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. That is Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. A ton of good information. Make sure you follow him at Albert Breer. It's funny he said that our mutual friend Phil Perry, who we've had on the show a bunch, does this series leading up to the draft called Prototypical Patriots. Prototype might be changing
might
up
be
there,
changing
man.
A little bit.
All right, nobody go anywhere. We're going back to the Caps. Bailey Johnson joins us next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The wait is over, DC. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is officially live. And right now, new customers can get started with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out on $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, when you bet your first $5 on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 18 years old or present in D.C. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Jeff bringing us back with some Darkest Hour, singing Rock the Red. Quite a banger here, Jeff. You've tracked down. If you missed any of our interview with Albert Breer, get on the app, rewind that. Maybe we re-racked that at 1 o'clock, Jeff. That was valuable. Right now, we're going to the BetQL guest line to welcome in Bailey Johnson from the Washington Post. Hello, Bailey. How do you do?
Good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yo, thank you for joining us. Have you gotten any sleep? Because I got out of Philly when the TV was over, but you had to write, and writing takes a lot more time.
Does it take a ton more time when we've got a print deadline to hit? But I got home around 1:30 in the morning, so got a solid couple hours.
You got back to D.C.?
Yes.
Wow, all right, you beat me then. Good for you. So what do you make of
a better plan than you?
Most people do, Brian. I'm not much of a planner. If you want to follow Bailey on social media, at Bailey A. Johnson _ on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. What do you make of this Caps season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say they did anything other than overachieve. I'm not sure. I certainly didn't think 6 months ago that I would be sitting here making plans to cover a playoff series. I don't even think I thought that a month ago or 2 weeks ago, even as it looked like they were hanging around the edge and maybe were going to sneak in. I mean, it's been an interesting year with the way the core has started to turn over. I pulled out last night their line chart from game one against Pittsburgh in October, and I knew that Nicholas Backstrom and Evgeny Kuznetsov were the top two centers on the team at that time, but to see it written out and then compare it to last night when Connor McMichael's the number one center and if Vanek Kuznetsov doesn't play here anymore and Nicklas Backstrom has stepped away, it's pretty crazy to think about how much has changed this year and this team still found a way to get into the playoffs.
When you look at the way that they play now in being in the playoffs, does this say that they are ahead or this was just something that happened?
A little bit of, I think, maybe just something that happened. I mean, it's certainly been, they've gotten great contributions from guys like Connor McMichael, Hendrix LaPierre, Alexi Protas has had a big year. So their young guys are starting to contribute more and are kind of starting to turn things over heading into what will eventually be a new era. But at the same time, they sold at the trade deadline. They weren't actively making moves to try to get in. The approach was sort of, if we happen to get in, awesome, really good experience for the young players and for the veterans to get to go what might only be one more time. But I would say kind of a little more something that just happened.
How many of the young guys that have emerged here are like legit pieces for the long haul versus like lightning in a bottle, hockey's a crazy sport, the last 6 weeks have been really fun?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Connor McMichael and Hendrix LaPierre are both looking like guys who are pieces for the long haul. We do, me and the other beat writers kind of talk about this a lot of how they're ultimately pretty similar players, McMichael and LaPierre, and maybe there comes a day where one of them gets moved out to maybe acquire the number one center that this team has been looking for a while. But as of right now, they're both playing a huge role in this team and have had really strong years that I don't think are just lightning in a bottle. They've found a way to be consistent and contribute in all three zones. It's not like Hendrix is only having success because he's scoring goals or getting assists, and same for Connor. They're both playing 200-foot hockey, which is super important at this time of year, and they've gotten unbelievably valuable experience playing what have essentially been playoff games for the last month to try to get in, and now we'll get firsthand experience in the NHL postseason, which it's hard to overstate how important that is for guys at that stage of their career.
I just think Hendrix LaPierre is a cool name. You go ahead.
Well, you have said that they kind of overachieved, and if they are now in the playoffs, what do you think the mindset is going to be since they're there now?
I certainly don't think it's just that they're happy to be here. Spencer Carberry said last night that's exactly how they're not going to approach it. They believe that if they play to their standard and do everything they can do, they can make some noise and maybe knock off a team and pull off an upset. I mean, nobody thought they'd be here at all, so certainly nobody thinks they're going to beat the Rangers, but they kind of take pride in that underdog role, which is not something this team has been a lot lately or, you know, in recent years. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't hate the matchup with the Rangers for them. It's hard to say that when they're playing the team that won the President's Trophy and they're the 8th seed who snuck in on the final day of the regular season, but they've played three incredibly competitive, very tight games and one game where they got a little bit blown out, which is a better status of the series than they had against a lot of teams this year. So as far as heading into the playoffs, I mean, I don't think they're just going to be happy to be here. I think they're going to try to make some noise.
I agree with that. I mean, I think when you got a guy like Alex Ovechkin, it's never a happy to be here thing, right? And I think, you know, seeing how the guys look up to O and talk about him and like the reverence they have there. I mean, you have these guys, it's really impressive to watch the hockey they're playing because they are clearly limited offensively, but they are completely selling out defensively to try to win these games. And that means throwing your body on the line to block these shots in a lot of capacities. I have another question for you, Bailey, that maybe is like less talked about. Two people specifically I want to hit on. We know the phrase standing on their head. We all understand that goalies can just get red hot, right? How much of this is Lindgren is just red hot versus, you know, Lindgren might be a real piece of the puzzle going into the future?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there were times this year where he was red hot and you wondered how sustainable it was. But I think even when he hasn't been at his peak red hot, I think about the games where he shut out Vegas and he had a shutout against the Rangers and had to make 35 saves in those games and stood on his head and was unbelievable. Those were the peaks, but the valleys weren't that far below that. He had a couple difficult games this year where they got blown out and the game started to open up, and a lot of games where maybe 6 goals went in, but only 2 of them he had any chance on. So for the overall balance of his season, he's been remarkably consistent as he's taken over the number one role. And I think that's a really encouraging sign for the future. I mean, he is 30 years old, so you start to wonder about the age a little bit, but he also has less mileage on his body than other 30-year-old NHL goalies because last year was his first year as a full-time NHL player. This is his first year as an NHL starter. Like, he hasn't played as many games as his same age peers, which I think helps. And again, the consistency that he's shown this year makes me think this is more than just him getting red hot, and this might be actually who Charlie Lindgren is.
Yeah, it's been exciting to watch, and the story's so cool. And then last one, and he's been further down the list. I know that, like, John Buccigross has tweeted about this, some big names in the hockey world. Carberry seems like he might be the dude. He just has a presence, like kind of a gravitas. What do you make of Coach Carbs and the job he's done keeping these guys locked in enough for this late season run into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think he's done really an unbelievable job. And the thing that really stands out to me is I don't think in Spencer Carberry's dream world, this grinded out, have to work as hard as humanly possible in all three zones for 60 minutes, win games 2-1 because you can't really score. Like, that's not ideally how his hockey teams would play. And at the beginning of the year, they didn't play like that, and they didn't win a lot of games. And what I find so impressive about him is that as a rookie head coach in the NHL, he has enough wherewithal, understanding of the game, and lack of ego to say, what we are doing isn't working. We have to win games a different way. And he got them to completely buy into the way they have to play, the physical forecheck, grind it out style. He's kept them in it all year long. I mean, you watch the videos they post of the post-game speeches he gives in the locker room, and you can just feel the charisma that he has and the way the group responds to him, which is a huge part of why they are where they are. And I think he's done a really unbelievable job in his first year.
I think he has too. I mean, they're still playing hockey. That tells you enough. Bailey, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time, and get some rest.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
That is Bailey Johnson, covers the Capitals for the Washington Post. Give her a follow at Bailey A. Johnson _. Does a really good job. I enjoyed that. Did you, B? That was our first time having Bailey on. She's sharp, knows her
very
pucks.
Sharp after she had no sleep, too.
Yeah, really. I am much less sharp.
Doesn't sound like your voice. Or
something. Well, I got less sleep, apparently, because I got home at least an hour after that.
What the hell were you doing?
We hit traffic. I wonder if she was on the train.
Probably so. Smart lady.
We
should have gotten the train.
We hit bad traffic, and it was incredibly annoying, much like it was this morning. What's not annoying is we're going to get smarter and figure out what the hell's going on in the world of money, because everybody cares about money. 12:30, Ben White joins us.
Man.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
Let it play, Jeffrey. Hey, yo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say. I don't think I can yell these lyrics anymore. Culture has changed, and there's a lot of different norms. So let's knock the boots like the group H-Town. R.I.P. Fife. Forever. On a New York street. Toby, bring me up to speed on the play-in games. I know they took place last night. Are the Warriors cooked?
Warriors are done.
So. I know they're out. But, like, are they out?
Yeah.
Like, are the Warriors over?
I don't know if they're over, but they got to get rid of Draymond.
I threw out a crazy idea to Denton on Twitter.
It better not involve the Wizards and Draymond.
No. Get rid of Draymond if you're the Warriors. Bring back Jordan Poole to take Klay Thompson's spot if you're the Warriors.
I don't know.
I mean, he was being groomed to be the next Splash Brother or whatever they want to consider.
Yeah, but he plays absolutely no defense.
Now, listen, I was at the game last night, and then I was doing postgame, so I didn't get to see exactly what happened. And I saw just via social media that Klay was having a bad game. He scored 0 points in 32 minutes. Zero?
Yeah.
Goose. Me and Klay Thompson scored the same amount of points last night.
And you shot no shots.
Jeff and Klay Thompson scored the same amount of points last night.
And Jeff shot no shots.
Damn. I think it's dangerous to say the Warriors are over, but they might be over.
Well,
he was 0 of 10 from the field and 0 of 6 from 3.
To me.
And people say he is top 3, 4 best shooters, pure shooters ever in the NBA, and he was 0 for 10?
To me, Bob Myers, part of the reason he stepped down is he knew that it was done, and he didn't want to be the one to break it up.
A lot of great ones
do that. He got his rings.
A lot of great ones do that when they know it's about to be over to save that reputation.
Got his rings, though. All right, so what? So the Lakers won, and all the clowns are saying, oh, the Lakers can – I look forward to Lakers Nuggets. I am – Brian, Jeff, mark the tape. I think the Nuggets will take care of the Lakers.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you, the Joker –
he's still playing, right?
Is the kryptonite for AD. Can't deal with him. And when AD has to try to cover him and he plays away from the basket, the Lakers can't get rebounds. That's the problem for him.
What are the – are there like series odds? I'd like series odds on Lakers Nuggets. I don't know how to get those, but –
I can't believe you don't know how to get it.
Well, I don't know that I know how to get those in the 2 minutes we have before we have to go back to commercial break.
You gotta get quick, Jeff. I mean, JP.
Let's see. Winter specials. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So did the Lakers actually look good? Zion got hurt.
They won last night.
Yeah, Zion played well and then got hurt and ran off and nobody knows what happened.
He apparently hamstring injury. No idea.
If he didn't get hurt, I think they could have won that game.
Yeah, I wasn't watching. I was watching the Caps.
I'm surprised you weren't watching baseball.
Well, they weren't started yet. The first pitch wasn't until 10:10.
I was just checking a lot of texts and stuff like that because I had an event, and then you start hanging out with Duncan, telling him what.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Then I got home and I had to do a podcast.
Just call an Uber.
So I was just like, okay, I'm going to figure this thing out.
So what do we have left? We get Pelicans Kings for the right to play the Thunder?
Yes, that is correct.
I'm rooting for the Kings, letting the world know that. I don't know why.
I'm going to root for the Pelicans. I never rooted for any basketball team ever in Louisiana like that, but I'm going to root for them.
Okay. Well, we're head to head.
If Zion is healthy, they can win.
That is probably the question for the New Orleans basketball franchise since they've drafted Zion.
Yeah, but he was unhealthy and out of shape. Now he's in shape.
Lay off the etouffee, Zion.
You just got to, you can eat it, just don't eat the whole damn pot. All you need is a little bowl.
Well, and then tonight's intriguing for the East. The Heat are in Philly to take on the Sixers. The winner of that game is going to face off with the Knicks. And then the Hawks take on the Bulls. I think we kind of think whoever loses the Heat-Sixers game is going to get that 8 seed, and then they'll face off with Boston. So some solid teams in the East could be playing some of those top teams.
Well, and the Sixers were way better before Embiid got hurt, right?
It's kind of like running to your death right there, right?
Yeah, Embiid's playing, so be interesting. I wouldn't want to face them as a 7 seed when Joel Embiid's back.
Yeah, but...
Oh, if you're the Knicks?
Is he healthy? That dude lives hurt.
His second-to-last game, he left the game early and then came back. Looked like he tweaked that knee again. Dude, who knows?
Some guys, man, just like the way he walks seems like it really hurts. I was just watching the thing with he and Grant Hill, where Grant was giving him his Olympic jersey, a team jersey. Dude, it looked like he just got beat up or something. Somebody was hitting him in his leg with bats. He walks bad.
Speaking of the Sixers, I meant to bring this up earlier, being there last night. So... the Wells Fargo Center has home locker rooms for the Flyers, the Sixers, and Villanova. Kind of like when you go to the Meadowlands and they got the Jets and the Giants, or even the Link has Temple's locker room and all that. It was interesting being there, and just as like an impartial observer as it comes to the Sixers, but now caring because Josh Harris is the owner of the Commanders. Clearly, there's some stadium issues going on up there, and he's a tenant at Wells Fargo and wants to own his own building.
Yeah, he's trying to build it right downtown.
Downtown, right. And we understand that more and more of these sports owners are trying to also make real estate plays. I can wrap my head around the finances of all of it. But understanding he's a tenant and he's looking to leave the building or at least exploring it, you could see how, that he had still spent good money on that Sixers locker room. And to me, that tells you something about the desire to win.
Yeah, I mean,
because you're not spending it in a place where you're going to get a return on that.
Yeah, just because I'm spending, just because I'm thinking about leaving, I'm not going to let my million-dollar athletes go into trash like somebody else did.
Right. That's a very clear point, cogent point there, Brian. So we got two NBA playing games tonight. When did the playoffs start? Playoffs?
I believe, let's see, Tuesday. I think it's Saturday.
Okay. And Hoffman is doing a good job of, like, live tweeting. I guess the Wizards brass is doing their kind of end-of-season wrap-up. So I think Winger and Dawkins are talking. And Winger said, I like this. He's like, I like this because I have said this a million times. I applaud honesty. I applaud intellectual honesty. When we're just, let's all tell the truth. We're all adults. Per Michael Winger, he said, what we're doing is hard. And he thanked everyone for continuing to show up. And then he said, we started the rebuild. Yes, I use that term. He's like, we made gains. It didn't show up in wins and losses, but he feels like they got better. And then he also said, though, and again, I applaud honesty. He's like, my biggest complaint is that there were times where we weren't competitive, and we need to be competitive for 48 minutes. And, dude, if you think about the Wiz for 20 years, they would just take quarters off.
Yeah.
Get to be a program where that no longer happens. And I think fans in this city that love hoops will buy all the way in. 12:30, Ben White joins the program.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.